Pshut Moray v'Rabotay, with the permission of Hashem, I would like to wish you, to all of you, a good week. This evening, we will be talking about how you must stick, always to be, do your best, to be always connected to Hashem through Emuna, even if you don't get what you want. Sometimes you have to know that we do not have from Hashem all what we want. Sometimes we want something, we pray for that something, we give tzedakah, we do a lot for to get that something, and it doesn't come. Don't lose your emunah. Don't lose your faith. A lot of times I hear people telling me, well, I don't believe. Be honest, today I heard this a few times. Yes, I don't believe. Yes, why I don't have a chance? Why this? Why that? I do tzedakah, I pray to Hashem, I put tefillin. Women say, I keep nida. And why I don't get what I want? Well, this is not... You know, Hashem is not a friend. We cannot use Hashem as we want. We owe Hashem a lot. We owe Hashem a lot, our life. Our life. We owe our Hashem our life. So all what's going on beside what you want, it happened, which it doesn't happen, what you ask from Him, He doesn't give you. It's, he knows why. It's his. I mean, a lot of times we don't know what is good for us, what is not good for us. Sometimes we pray to Hashem to get something, we don't get it. So we put our emunah in doubt. But maybe what you've been asking from Hashem, maybe it's not good for you. Maybe it's not good for you. Who knows? Maybe only Hashem knows. A lot of times you have to, and we will try to explain. You know, my friend, and there is two parashiyot, there is three parashiyot, they are fantastic. Parashat, the parasha of last week, Naso, and then Behalotcha, and then Shelach Lecha. Those three parashiyot, the end of Parashat Naso, the Torah there talk about the Jew, the 12 tribes, the Shevatim, that they did the inauguration of the temple. And the Torah explained that through those 12 head of each tribe, the temple was inaugurated during the month of Nisan. Okay? And then, at the next parasha, the parasha of Be'alotcha, there the Torah talk about Aaron. When Hashem said to Aaron that you will light the candles in the temple. And our rabbis explained that Aaron was very, very sad. Why he was not invited? Why he was not invited to participate in the inauguration of the temple? As you know, whatever you build a house, there is inauguration. You build a synagogue, there is inauguration. When you do something, there is inauguration. And then, even for the temple, there was inauguration. I mean, Hanukkah Tabait, the inauguration of the temple. So, this fabulous inauguration, all the tribes, they were invited. I mean, each head of the president, of Reuven, the president of Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, the president Nachshon ben Aminadab, that he was the president of the tribe of Yehuda. Tov. But Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, was not invited. So Aaron was very, very, very sad. He was very sad. Why he was not invited? So HaKadosh Hashem, he gave him a consolation. What kind of consolation? He gave him the menorah, to light the menorah. But between you and me, that it could not be a good consolation because Aaron wanted to be among those who inaugurated the temple. Okay, Hashem, thank you, Hashem. You give me something else, but just imagine you give a present to each one and then you forget somebody. Excuse me, I forgot you. They give you something else. I mean, Aaron was very, very upset. But it's incredible. When Hashem told him, "Hey, Aaron, for you, I give you to light the candles." The Torah said, "Vayasken Aaron." And Aaron, he did what Hashem told him. That means that on one hand, Aaron, he was asking for something, and then Hashem gave him something else. That means he did not get what he wanted. And still, Vayasken Aaron. Aaron, he did not ask questions. He just accepted. Vayasken Aaron. I mean, Hashem, I have a question. Why I did not participate with the inauguration of the temple with the others? Why you give me this? But Aaron, he did not ask nothing. He said, "Okay, I'll do it." With a big imunah, with a big, big imunah on Hashem. That means that when he was lighting candles at that moment, he could think, he could have a thought, a little thought, well, why Hashem give me this present? Why Hashem give me this to light the candles? Why did not give me to be among the 12 head of each tribe to inaugurate the temple with a sacrifice? Why give me this? No. By asking Aaron, that means that Aaron, he did what Hashem told him without having any doubt, without having any question why Hashem he did not invite him to participate with the others. And from here, we learn something incredible. That a man should not ask questions. A man, he should always have emunah on Hashem, even if he doesn't get what he wanted. I mean, he don't get what he wants. And instead of having what he was asking for, he has something else. Aaron, he did not ask these kind of questions. Now I have a big question. I don't understand why Aaron he was upset. I don't understand. Because he was not invited for the inauguration of the temple. But according to the Midrash, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was during 7 days before the real inauguration of the temple, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was building every morning the temple. And the evening, he put back, how do you say, Mifarek. In the morning, he built the temple. And the evening, he not destroyed the temple. You know, he is Mifarek, the temple. It's not easy work, you know, to build, you know, a big tent in the morning, a big, huge, big tent. And the morning, in the evening, he put back the temple, you know, apart. Everything, the Mishkan, the everything. I mean, it's a big work. And he did all kind of work that a Kohen Gadol could do. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he was teaching Aaron during 7 days the work that he should do when he will be the when officially the Mishkan will be built. So really, and beside this, Aaron HaKohen, he was the Kohen Gadol. And Aaron HaKohen, he was the first one to inaugurate the temple. Because the first sacrifice, Korban Hatat, all those Korbanot that were made in the Mishkan, it was Aaron HaKohen who did them. So I don't understand what a big deal to be among the 12 head of state, of head of each tribe, to bring a special sacrifice than being the first one who sacrificed the first sacrifice, the first korban hatat, the korban for the kohanim, the korban for the Am Israel. I mean, I don't understand Aaron HaKohen. I mean, don't forget Aaron. During 7 days, it was Aaron, it was Moshe Rabbeinu, your brother, that he was inaugurating each day the temple. He built it in the morning, in the evening he put it apart. He unlocked all the Mishkan. I don't understand why Aaron is so upset. Okay, he was not invited to bring this special sacrifice for the Shevet Levi, but Aaron, you represent Shevet Levi by the first sacrifice that you did in the temple. So why you are so upset? Why you are so upset? And you know, with the zechut of Aaron and Moshe, that the Oreol, the Shekhinah, Hashem came to the Mishkan. I mean, he did a big work, Aaron HaKohen. He did. If it was not Aaron HaKohen who was the main man to be the first Kohen in the Mishkan, there'd be no Shekhinah in the Mishkan. It's like Aaron HaKohen, it was Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were both of them, the two people who opened up the gates for the Shekhinah to come down. They were, both of them, the two people, the two tzaddikim, who opened up the gates that the 12 chief of each tribe did their sacrifice. Without them, there'd be nothing. So why is he upset? I think, my friend, that Aaron HaKohen, he was a man that always was looking for mitzvot. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. While the Bnei Israel in Egypt, they were taking money from the Egyptian, Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to take care of the bones of Yosef to bring them to from Egypt to Eretz Israel. He did not forget that Yosef HaTzadik, he swore, he said to the Jews before he died, to promise him not to forget him in the desert, in Egypt. And no one knew where he was buried. And Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for the bones of the body of Yosef HaTzadik to take him out from Egypt to Eretz, to Israel. He was looking for mitzvot. So Aaron as well, he was a man who wanted always to increase himself in the Avodat Hashem. Okay, Aaron HaKohen, he knows. He knows that he's in charge of the Mikdash. He knows that he was the first one to operate all the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash. I know, he knows. He knows that he was the first one to do the Korban Hatat, the sacrifice of forgiveness, that Hashem, he will forgive the Jews for the idolatry that they did. And Aaron, he knows. But, and he knows that Moshe Rabbeinu, his brother, he was integrating each day, during 7 days, the Shivat Yimim Milu'im, he knows that he was there. He knows all this. And he knows as well that because of him and because of Moshe, his brother, the kavod of Hashem came to the Beit HaMikdash. He knows. But mikol makom, anyway, he knows. But he wanted to be equal, like the rest of the head of each head of the Shevatim. He wanted to do that kind of sacrifice. Because each Shevet, each tribe, they bring the same sacrifice. Aaron wanted as well to have just the same sacrifice. He wanted, Aaron always, he wanted to give. He wanted to give. You should know one thing, that sacrifice that each tribe did, it was a special sacrifice. That special sacrifice that each tribe did for the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, it was a special sacrifice for all life. All life. That means up to now, since already 3,000 years, this kind of sacrifice that they did for the inauguration of the temple, the zichut, the merit of that sacrifice, they still taking profit, they still enjoying from that kind of hashpah, of that sacrifice. So Moshe Aharon HaKohen, he wanted as well to do a sacrifice like this. So by doing that kind of sacrifice, a sacrifice, there will be a good hashpah for his tribe and for all Jews. I mean, it's very important for the Jews to be all together, because each tribe, he has his own hashpah, and each one he gives to other one. That means Am Israel, it's like we do we invite the king, we are 12 people, and we invite the king, and each one he brings something, you know, food. I mean, and all kind of food is in the table, and everybody tastes from each food. And the king is happy. Who did this? Well, this is my specialty. Oh, it's fabulous. And that specialty, this is my specialty. So that means that the king, he tasted from all the speciality, or for all the food. And all the 12 people that they invited the king, each one he ate it from the other one, so they enjoyed the 12 meals, they enjoyed all that food. So Aharon HaKohen, he knew that each tribe, he has his own quality of hashpah on the Klal Israel, to his tribe and on the Klal Israel. So, and then after, each one will enjoy the hashpah of the other one. So Aharon HaKohen, he thought, if I contribute as well, if I was invited to that kind of sacrifice, so I will bring my hashpah to all the Jews, and I want to get as well from them. So now I was not invited, so I lost this opportunity for generations, that to give from my hashpah to the Bnei Israel and to get from them. That way, he was very, very, very upset. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him another. He told him, Aaron, don't be upset. I give you this mitzvah, Shelcha Gdola Misher Alayim. By lighting the candles every day, it's better than bringing one sacrifice just for once. So one time. And Aaron HaKohen, he believed. I mean, for Aaron HaKohen, Hashem, please, I prefer to bring a sacrifice like everybody. I don't want to be more than them. I mean, Aaron, he did not look to get a present more than them. Aaron HaKohen wanted Hashem. I did not ask you to give me something more than them. Just if you could, why I was not invited, just to be like them. Just to be like them. To join from their hashpah, and to give them for my hashpa'a to them altogether. But Aaron, he did not ask that question. Vayasken Aaron. Even he did not get what he wanted, just he did what Hashem told him. And beside this, he did not thought 1 minute, well, thank you Hashem that you give me the double, more than them. No. He said, the Torah said, Aaron, he did exactly what Hashem told him. That's it. What Hashem told him to do, he did it. Just imagine, there is a king who gives to 12 people presents. And then he saw a man sitting there that he did not get nothing. And he saw his face that he was upset. And the king told him, why are you upset? I'm upset because you did not give me nothing for me. I mean, you give to the 12 people and me, I am among them, you forgot me. For you, I give you 1,000 times more than them. Usually he should be happy. But here, Aaron HaKohen, even that he received more than everybody, appreciated more than everybody, he did not show any happiness. He did it because Hashem told him, he believed in Hashem. He believed in Hashem without asking questions. Even that he did not get what he wanted, he believed, and Hashem will give him something very, very valuable, very important. Aaron, he did not show any sign of joy, of happiness, that he got something more than them. No. Hashem, thank you for what you give me, and what you give me, I will put it on the service of Am Israel. I mean, that I will pray for Am Israel. I saw in a book something incredible. I saw in one book that the book, his name is Pituhei Hotam. He said there, of Rabbi Yaakov Ben Sarah Alav Hashalom, he explained there that Hashem, he said to Aaron, when you light the candles, the lamps, the Beit HaMikdash, the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash, you will create a big blessing up there, and you will bring it back to the Jews. That means that all what Aaron HaKohen wanted, he wanted only to give. Why he wanted to participate with the Bnei Israel to bring the sacrifice for the inauguration of the temple, so that he can give from his own ashpa'a, from his own affluence of the Shevet Levi to the Jews, and to receive from the Jews as well something from them, that from their own ashpa'a to him. Hashem said to Aaron, because that was your thought. So you get exactly what you are thinking. That means Hashem said to Aaron, when you light the candles, the menorah, you create a big hashpa up there, and you will bring it here to the Bnei Israel. I think, Baruch Hashem, that's what I meant, what I told you before. Aaron HaKohen, he didn't search to be more than them. He wanted to be just one among them. Even that it was only for once they did that kind of sacrifice. But I really understand that the 12 tribes, that once, only once, that only sacrifice that they did, it's a sacrifice for generations. And he wanted to participate on this. But Hashem, he said, the Torah wants to teach us something incredible. That sometimes, if you don't get what you want, don't, as you shall lose your emunah, and don't ask questions. do like Aaron. Aaron wanted really to do the sacrifice with the 12 tribes. And he didn't get it. And he got something else. He just accepted. Vayasken Aaron. And he didn't cry, he didn't scream, "Hurrah, I'm happy now because I wanted to do what they did, and because the Hashem did not give me what they did, so Hashem give me something more than them." He was not happy for that. No. He just did it because only Hashem wanted him to do that. You know, there is in the book Amarot Tehorot, First, I would like just to tell you a beautiful story. Today I went to a wedding, and Baruch Hashem there, I didn't want to go because today it was a lot of traffic because there is a big demonstration here in France about marriage. Men to get married together, women together. Big them. There is people for and there is people against this marriage. And as you know, it's unfortunately today we live in a generation that it's incredible. I mean, I was shocked that in our time we see this kind of demonstration. I mean, for me, marriage, it's a, between men. I mean, between a marriage between man and woman. I mean, marriage between men, marriage between women, and to adopt children, this is something that it's incredible. It's something that it's not accepted by any religion. Any religion. No religion will accept this. I mean, today we live in a generation that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes I can imagine my children one day, they will tell me, "Papa, what's this? What's going on?" I don't know what to answer them. You know, the hashpa is the influence of the street is so bad. I mean, today, all the time, people are talking only about marriage between men, marriage between women. I mean, today, this is the only conversation that you hear here in France. Can you imagine? Children today will start talking about themselves. Well, let's get married. I mean, God forbid, there is bad influence, there is good influence. And I don't know what's going to happen. So I didn't want to go to the marriage because there was a lot of demonstration in the street. So it would take hours to arrive to the synagogue. So I didn't go. So at the end, they called me, they told me that where there is the wedding, it's empty, it's open road there. And please, if I don't come, there'll be no wedding. We will not get married. We will wait for you. So I had no chance. I went. And Baruch Hashem, the synagogue was a crowd of people. On one hand, I said, "Well, thanks God. Still people getting married between men and women." I was happy. And asked the rabbi, "How was today?" He said, "Well, Rabbi David, today we had 7 weddings here." I was happy, thanks God, in France. There is a demonstration, marriage only between men, marriage between women. And Baruch Hashem, here we celebrate a married man and a woman. You couldn't hear this before. We never heard that before. I mean, okay, you want to live with a man, live with a man. It's your business. But marriage, why? Why the word marriage? I don't know. Really, I don't know. If this is democratic, I think we are losing the. I think I don't know what's going on. I don't know. It's so sad to live to live in a generation that we have to see this. I don't know. My friend, Baruch Hashem, that wedding, the couple that there was no in peace and shalom, and Baruch Hashem, I made shalom between them. And I said, Baruch Hashem, that I came to this wedding, and I was so pleased, so happy, and I said to Hashem, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give me mitzvot to do. I mean, can you imagine? Sometimes, I don't know, between you and me. At the beginning, I didn't want to go to that wedding. And at the end, I went and I did two mitzvot. Two couples that they were supposed to divorce, Baruch Hashem, I put them together. No divorce. And Baruch Hashem, they promised me that each one, they will buy a present to their wives, and Baruch Hashem, I was so happy. I don't know what I deserve to do that, to receive that kind of big mitzvah. But one thing I want to tell you. My pleasure was more than the shalom that I did between these two couples. I was a little bit broke today. I was not depressed. I was very sad for this big demonstration. I was so sad. So Hashem, it's like Hashem sent me a message. Hey, David, don't be sad. Baruch Hashem, go to the synagogue and you will see what's going on there. And Baruch Hashem, that gives me a relief. That I saw there is a wedding and I meet shalom between two couples, man and a woman. Not man with man, but man and a woman. Baruch Hashem. Why I deserve this mitzvah? Because I never ask why. I promise you. I don't know. Why there is this? Why this, in our generation, it's a bad generation, that we only hear bad things happening. And there is no security. We don't know what's going on. Today there is things that there is things that push you not to believe in Hashem. I'm telling you, sometimes there is things happening that it made you feel, is there is Hashem? Of course there is Hashem. The problem is, where are you? Hashem, he is in his place. But you, where are you? Where is your place? Hashem give you rules. You follow them, you will find yourself. You don't follow them, you will lose yourself. You will lose contact. You will lose feelings. And then you will ask him, where is Hashem? Where is Hashem? He is where? He is next to you. It's just you. You don't know where you are, where you yourself. So, because if you don't know where you are, how can you know where is Hashem? I mean, people, one day they are this like this, one day they are like this. So, if already they doubt about themselves, they doubt about what they're doing, how can we don't doubt about where is Hashem? First, find yourself where you are. Where are you situated? Where are you? In the parasha of, but what made me happy today, it's a man that he brings me from the synagogue to home, back home, And he told me that he was in Morocco, and he went to a grief of a big tzaddik, Rabbi David Umoshi, big tzaddik in Morocco, very, very, very well-known tzaddik. This tzaddik is Ashkenaz, that he was buried in Morocco 900 years ago. And this tzaddik, there is a lot of stories about him going on, a lot of stories. First, this tzaddik, he don't accept men and women that they are together. I mean, otherwise there is wind, there is rain, there is too much wind. I mean, people know that this tzaddik, he don't like women that they are not well dressed, and rules to go to the grave of that tzaddik. So this man told me that he went there 3 years ago, and he was with another rabbi, and they were praying there, and this man, he said to the rabbi, "Is it true what they are talking about, this rabbi? I mean, all the miracles that they are telling about him, is it true or not?" So the other rabbi, he said, "Of course it's true. Of course it's true." So he told him, "Let's light one candle and let's pray with the zechut of this tzaddik that Hashem, he will show us a sign that this rabbi, he was a big tzaddik." Listen, please. There were two people in the desert, in that cemetery, where Rabbi David Umoshi is buried. Only two people. The rabbi and this man that he bring me here tonight. His name is... Sam Lugasi. He gave me his phone number. So he took a candle, he lighted it, and he threw it near the grave. I'm telling you, you will not believe. He showed me some pictures. He said, "Rabbi David, look. Those pictures that they came from the fire. I promise you, you could see on the fire of the candle the picture, behemet, the nose, the white beard, the eyes, the ears, the head, like you see me." I didn't believe it. I said, "I don't believe you. Don't tell me this picture came from the fire." He said, "Rabbi David, look all those pictures. That means the picture of the tzaddik came out." Next time, I don't have the picture. I told him to make me a photo. Next time, I'll show you the photo. Couldn't believe. But it's true. Sometimes the tzaddikim, when you have doubt on them, they do a demonstration, they show up. Sometimes it's no good to ask signs from Hashem. Do what He's telling you to do, and you will see the hand of Hashem. A lot of times people, they lose their faith on God, because they don't get what they want. They don't get what they've been asking for. And they get something else. So they get angry. Why? So learn from Aaron. I want to tell you another story that this Sam Lugasi told me. He went to a grave of a big tzaddik in Morocco, Rabbi Abraham Wazana. And it's in the desert. He's buried in the desert. He's in a small room. This room is locked. There is a Moroccan who has the key of this room in the cemetery in the desert of Morocco. So they went there. They arrived to the room where the statue is buried. They opened the room. They saw a big snake. A big snake. And they were afraid. And the snake was 3, 4, 5 meters. And it was on the floor, but like a cobra, who was looking at them. And they did not know what to do. They did not know what to do. To get out and go or to stay. And both of them decided not to go. They said, well, we came 500 kilometers. The tzaddik will protect us. They stayed there and they were praying near to the gate. They were few centimeters from the snake. And the snake did not move. They started dancing, singing, and the snake, it did not move. I told them, are you crazy? They said, Rabbi David, I don't know what happened to us. We had a big emunah that snake, he was like a something, he belonged, he protect the place. So he couldn't do us nothing bad. And besides this, we did not know from where the snake came. There were no hole in the room. We don't know from where it came. We don't know what to know. But and then after that, we dance, we pray, and we sing. We left the room. When we left the room, we were looking at the snake, and the snake, he went like that. It's like he moved his head. I don't understand. He did not move his head for half an hour. I don't know. Well, this is things that you cannot understand. The things, this Sam Lugasi, he told me, I know him from Morocco. And I met his family about 40 years ago. I was at the time 23 years old, young man. And I remember at that time when I met the family in Marrakesh, he lost his brother. His brother, his name is Chaim. He was 4 years old. Listen to this. They named him after Rabbi Chaim Pinto. And then, at the age of 4, and the Sam Lugasi told me that something incredible with this Chaim. This Chaim, my brother, was so holy. He was very, very tzniut. He never let his mother wash him or to dress him. Always he was clean. He was very, very tzniut. Always he didn't let his mother to touch him. He was like a holy person. Unfortunately, they went to Essaouira. He was born in Essaouira. They were in Essaouira. He was at the age of 4. And his mother, she took him to the grave of Rabbi Chaim Pinto, my grandfather. And then she told him, you know, Chaim, we named you after the tzaddik. So he said to his mother, Mama, do me a favor. Let me here. I want to stay here. I don't want to go back to Marrakesh. My place is here. I think I came to this world only for 4 years. I think it's finished. So his mother, she started crying. She said, no, you cannot talk like that. He said, Mama, I'm telling you, that's it. I came for, I have a Gilgul. I came here for reincarnation, only of 4 years. This is my feeling, he said to his mother. 1 week later, he died. As he said, you see, his mother, I remember when I meet them, she was crying to me. She told me, Rabbi David, why this? Why that happened? I said, Madam. He said, but I pray to Hashem to give me a baby. And why he give me a baby? To take it. I said, Madam, there is no answer for that. One day, after 120 years, when you will meet Hashem, you ask this to Hashem. She said, but I ask Hashem to give me a baby. I said, Madam, sometimes you don't get what you want. You don't get what you want. Sometimes you get what you want. And if you don't get what you want, there is a reason. This is a conviction. This is the emuna. This is emuna. Aaron HaKohen, he has a feeling, a big feeling, that all what he got is with the zechut of the Bnei Israel. If he is Kohen Gadol, it's only because of the Bnei Israel. So now Aaron HaKohen, he wanted, well, now that if I will participate with the sacrifice for the inauguration of the temple, I will give for my hashpah to the Bnei Israel something. I will give them back something from what they give me. And it's not Chas v'Shalom. It's not, God forbid, that Aaron just wanted to have glory, honor, to be among those who inaugurate the temple. No, because he knows that here this is no glory, this is no kavod, this is each one that he participates for the inauguration of the temple. He has something. It's a hashpa'a. He's going to get a special hashpa'a, a special holy influence from the Shamayim that he will give it to his tribe, and from his tribe it will go to all the tribes. Each sacrifice of each tribe, he will bring something to him, something good, a sheva, an abundance, a bracha, a blessing, that his tribe will enjoy it. And then from them it will go to the brothers, to the rest, and so on. There is here Rabbi Yosef Pinto, Alav Shalom. There is a beautiful story here that he said about is here something that hey, there is a beautiful question. Do Hashem need a menorah? Hashem doesn't need a menorah. Hashem, there is a menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. Light. Hashem doesn't need light. So our rabbis, they explain. They were a clever boy and another man that he was blind. They were going together. They were the clever man, he was holding the hand of the blind man that he can't see. So they were walking, they were traveling, and they were, because the man, he was blind, so he was holding his hand. So they went to the hotel. When they arrived to the hotel, the clever man, he said to the blind man, can you light me a candle? So the blind man told him, "Mister, how can I do like you? If you are clever, you see, you hold my hand all the journey. I mean, without you, I don't know where I'll be today. And you want me to light you the candle? You light the candle yourself. I mean, why you ask me to light you the candle?" So he told him, "I know, but I don't want people to talk that I did to you a lot of favors and you did nothing for me. So at least people will see that you did something for me. So let me the candle. I don't want, it's like a, I don't want people to think that just take advantage on me. At least people say, ah, that even you do something." So I think this is the example. And the rabbi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Jews, "Israel, I consider you like this blind man." HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing, he delivered the Jews from Egypt. Hashem was going in front of them in the desert. He gave them food, water, he protected them. And then Hashem told them, "Light for me a menorah." So they told him, "Hashem, but without you, we are nothing. Why do you want us to light you the menorah? And you want us to light you a menorah in front of you?" So he told him, "I don't want people to say that after all what I'm doing for you, you do nothing for me." Hashem, so much he loves us. He wants us to like to live together. Do for me, I do for you. It's incredible. That kind of present that Hashem gave to Aaron. Aaron HaKohen. By lighting the candle, he represents the whole Jews. Hashem, on behalf of the whole Jews, thank you for all what you do for us. Do Hashem need the candle? Does Hashem need the light? It just, Hashem so much he loves us. Just, he asks, do something for me. And who does that? Aaron, on behalf of all Jews. Now can you imagine what kind of reward Hashem he gives to Aaron? Aaron that he wanted to give Ashpa'ah from his sacrifice of the inauguration to the Jews and to get from them as well. Now he is the big Mashpia. He becomes the one who, on behalf of the whole Jews, he said thank you to Hashem. He represents the whole Jews and the Shamayim. Imagine this. And this beautiful book of Amarot Teorot, there is a beautiful question. The Torah said that El Mol Pnei HaMenorah, you have here three branches, three on the right and three in the left. And you have one in the middle. So the three on the right and the three on the left, they should be on in front of this one. So the question here, why the Torah will not say Ya'iru el mul pnei menorah Ya'iru sheshet ha'nerot, in front of the menorah, the sixth branch will be light. Why the seven? Because the three in the light and the three on the left, they're in front of the one that is in the middle. So the question is, the Torah should say the six, not the seven. Why the seven? The seven the seven lights, they will be in front of the one. It doesn't make any sense. The three of the left and the three on the right, which are six, they will be lighting, they will be on in front of the one in the middle. So why the Torah said, El mol pnei menorah, in front of the one, the six branches, they will be light in front of the seventh branch, there will be light in front of the... I mean, it doesn't make no sense. You have here, I make you a picture so you can understand. You have here this. You have here. Three branch, and the one in the middle. The Torah said, the Torah said, in front of this branch, there will be light. They will give the light in front. I mean, the Torah should say the six branch, they will be in front of this one, not the seven of them. They will be in front of this one. Doesn't make no sense. This is the question that he asked. And as well, he asked another question. The Torah said that Aaron should candle the lamps and they will be on. I mean, the Torah should say that Aaron should light the menorah. That's it. And we know that in the menorah there is six branches. Why the Torah has to mention that Aaron should light the menorah till the seven branch will be on? We know that. And I was thinking something incredible. I was thinking that Hashem wants to give us a message. We know that this branch here, in the middle, that represents Hashem. And this free branch represents the work that Am Israel should do. So now we understand. The seven of them, Aaron elied them. But when they are on all together. Each one gives the hashpah to the other one. That's why the Torah said, El mol pnei menorah ya'irush ra'atan min. I mean, El mol, who is mol pnei menorah? Who is the real menorah? He is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means, when you light the sixth branch in front of this one as well is going to be on. So each one will be equal. Each one will give his. I mean, we look only that those six branch in front of this middle one, but really the middle one is among them. So when they are together, they are only seven. There is nothing, there is no six in front of this one. When you serve Hashem, Hashem is among you. And that's what the Torah mentioned. Ya'iru shivat ha'nerot. According to Bnei Ishchai gave a super explanation. The Bnei Ishchai explained that the three branch on the left and the three branch on the right represent something, and the one in the middle, it represents something. He said that the one in the middle represents Shabbat, and the three branch on the right represents Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the three branch on the left represents Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That means all your work, it gets all what you do during the 6 days. Ya'iru Shirat. All the work that you do during these 6 days, it's for Shabbat. If you respect Shabbat, you will get the bracha. And I think according to that, I mean, a lot of people, they might think, well. If I don't work Shabbat, from where I can get my parnasa? The answer is, Ya'iru Shirat HaNerot. That way, I think this is my answer. I mean, you get a parnasa with the zikhut of the Shiva, with the zikhut of the Shabbat. Shabbat is the 7 days. When you respect Shabbat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the reward. Don't worry. Can you imagine Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then Shabbat, then Sunday again? That means all week you work for Shabbat, and Shabbat work for you for the whole week. Do you get all week? You're excited. You work. If today we do a mizmor, we mention Shabbat. Shabbat Kodesh. Each day we mention Shabbos. Each day we prepare ourselves for Shabbat. When Shabbat comes, so you get the bracha for the all week to come. All the 6 days, till Shabbat, next Shabbat. This is Ya'iru Shirat HaNerot. That means all the preparation for Shabbat, once you get to Shabbat, so Shabbat prepare the bracha for the six days to come. So that means Shabbat prepare for the week, and week prepare for Shabbat. It's incredible. Incredible. How much? This is the circuit of the menorah. The circuit of the menorah, it's how much you have to... Now we understand the way the Torah said, Ya'iru Shirat HaNerot. El mul pnei menorah. A man always should have emunah and bitachon on Hashem without asking questions. And when you have emunah on Hashem, you will get what you need. Maybe you don't get what you want, but you get what Hashem wants you to get. Because only Hashem knows what is good for you. And this is the reason why there is we mention Har Shabbos. And the menorah. Vizeh ma'aseh menorah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world for Shabbat. Hashem created the whole world that a man will recognize there is Hashem. When a man can recognize there is Hashem, when he rests on Shabbat. When you rest on Shabbat, you declare that you believe in Hashem, that Parnasa came only from Hashem. Vezeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. Ma'aseh bereshit. All the story of the creation of the world was only for Shabbat. Ya'iru Shirat HaNerot. When you believe in Hashem, so through this emunah on Hashem, you believe in Hashem, that Hashem created the world, and you rest on Shabbat. All your week is for Shabbat, and Shabbat is for the week, so all of them, each one helps the other one. Like the hashpa of the Shevatim, each Shevet is mashpia on the other. The menorah, the hashpah of the menorah, the good influence of the menorah, is bring you bracha for all week. When all your week is for Shabbat, so you get a reward. Shabbat is for all the week. It's going to give you the bracha for all the week. You prepare yourself all week for Shabbat, and Shabbat prepare your week. This is the reward that you get. So that was a good, good, good matana, present that Hashem gave to Aaron. That through you, Aaron, by lighting the candles, you bring so big, good Hashpah on the Jews to believe more in Hashem, to respect all week for Shabbat. And then, from Shabbat, they will receive the bracha for the whole week. I would like just to wish you a bracha v'atzlacha. And I would like to pray for you that Hashem give you bracha v'atzlacha and bri'ut, happiness and blessing. Akiva, God bless you. Shalom bracha.